The Bert Show.
For those of you that have the New Year's resolution this year, this is going to be the year. You're going to hit the gym. You're going to start eating right. We realize that a lot of you guys are starting from ground zero. You have no idea what you're doing.
And it's intimidating, too. I think if you haven't been working out, if you haven't been in the gym, like, you don't know exactly how to even turn on the button on the machine to get the treadmill or the elliptical started going. So there's an intimidation factor there, you know? I think, like, you're nervous. Everybody else around looks like they know what they're doing. They've been going every day. It's like, it's kind of scary to get started.
So that for those that have never been to a gym before, have no idea about trainers or anything, but now they've got the money because, you know, it's in this economy, everybody has a disposable income.
Right.
Now they've got the money to go to a gym. How do you know a good gym from a bad gym? How do you select what gym to go to besides the one that's closest to your house?
That's a great question. I think if you go to a place where they're very helpful and they take their time to explain what you're doing and what you're not doing, then that's considered a good place in a lot of ways. If they're very conscious oriented when it comes to nutrition, it's so many variables.
Like, what kind of questions can you ask? Because I know sometimes you'll go to some gyms and sometimes the trainers are the salespeople also, and they're more focused on just getting you in there.
Right.
Then once you get to the gym, they forget about you. So what kind of questions can you ask to where you know that the gym that you're going to is actually going to help you once you sign up?
Another good question. I would ask, what are your programs? What kind of programs do you offer, like personal training? What kind of guidance can I get in nutrition? How often do I work out? What if I have injuries? And they can answer injury-based questions. If they can answer questions, if you've never done anything before and are very conscious about people like that. You can also judge it based on the actual session. If someone is training you and they're training you like they're training everyone else, it's probably not a good situation.
Okay, so it's got to be individual attention.
It has to be individual attention.
And
starting out because you're new.
They would have to have like different kinds of classes too. Because I've signed up before and like, you know, you go to like one class, you're all fired up. You're like, I'm going to love this aerobic class. And then you get in there and you hate it. And you'd rather do maybe a different kind of class or do like a hip hop class or whatever. You know what I mean? So you've got different
options.
Choices if you're signing up for something. I wouldn't sign up for just one small specific thing. I'd give yourself some options to see what you actually like and enjoy.
Well, most gyms let you test drive a trainer once or their gym once or twice.
They should. And it's in that consultation is what it's called process that you determine where someone is athletically. If they have a consultation program, then by all means, it's considered a good place in a lot of ways because that's when you do a full assessment and you understand someone's needs.
So if you go in there and you have a one-on-one, and what are you supposed to feel like? I mean, think about talking to the most basic person that has never worked out before. If you go in with a trainer for the very first time, how should you feel after that very first workout to know that that's a good trainer or not?
If you can't walk, that's probably bad. But you should feel like you had some kind of challenge, like something, you know, your muscles feel stretched, your core should have some sort of firmness to it. You should feel like I did something, but I'm still functional. Because again, if you're a beginner, if you're at the very bottom, you should never go to the extreme to where if you can't bend over, your back hurts, your legs hurts, then that may be too much. No maybe about it. That is too much.
Are there some people that will come into the gym that are so out of shape that you can't train that you're like, you got to go see a doctor first?
Well, I always get clearance. I have my clients get clearance from a doctor. And, you know, it's just a clause of mine from the beginning. Are there anyone that you can train? No, because there's different levels of training, beginner, intermediate, advanced. So everyone's trainable. Everyone's coachable. But there has to be levels, you know?
Does each trainer come? Can you go in there and ask for a certificate? Do you have to be certified to be a trainer in Georgia?
You have to be, And you should ask for that.
And what if you want to train at home and do it by yourself? Is there anything you would recommend for someone doing exercising on their own?
Yeah, me and my chair.
Wendy, do you have a chair at home?
Everybody has a chair at home. I mean, that was
what if
easy.
You don't have any chairs?
If you don't have a chair, then don't buy the DVD. You know?
So Vet has a DVD which basically says that you can use your body weight and you can use this chair to get a decent workout.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What time of day is the best time to work out? Is it before you start your day, in the morning? Is it once you're done with work?
Honestly, it's relative. I got to be honest with you. Everyone's different. There is no rhyme or reason. If you do it in the morning, you know, there's morning people. Some people wake up at 4 a.m. and go for, I have a client that runs for at least 6-7 miles at 4 a.m.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That is insane.
Jen and I work out at different times, and we're trying to coordinate to work out with each other. And I have such a fear of working out at her time, and she has such a fear of working out at my time.
I know what
you're talking about. You got your pace, your rhythm, right? Like, yeah, I like to go from here to work out and then home, and then I'm done. I don't have to keep going, right? Bert likes to go home first.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to take his little nap, do his thing, regroup, whatever, and then go to the gym. I'm like, no. By then, I'm done.
Right.
I have no energy by that point.
Your time scares me, man. It really does. Here is Cortland. Good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning. I just want to say that I'm looking to start a workout regimen this year, and I'm not looking to lose a lot of weight, but I do want to tone up. And I've been on like 1,000 diets and all that kind of stuff. And my experience has been that when I've seen a trainer the first time or even 5 times after that, I've walked out of there in so much pain that it stopped me from going back.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why this keeps happening. I wonder if trainers are just so, set on getting you in shape, that they're not taking you at the level that you're at. And what can I do to, when I do decide to see another trainer, what can I do to get them to work with me at my level?
Well, when a trainer interviews you, make sure that they're listening to your needs. Make sure they're writing things down and they're paying attention to any potential injuries you may have, where you are athletically. More important than not, have the person or ask them if they do not do this, you demand it. Say, stretch me before I work out with you.
Oh, that's a good call.
That's good.
Warm up your muscles. A lot of times, a lot of people go to the gym and they do it cold. They just go in and they start working out. But if you've been stationary all day long, or for, and maybe in your case, 6 months to a year, your muscles aren't accustomed to that challenge. Mm-hmm. So stretch before and always stretch after, and that's going to help tremendously.
It's been my experience too with new trainers, Cortland, that there's like a really fine line. Like, I think trainers, you need to be sore when you leave, because I think you need to feel that something happened. Like, if you walk out of there and you still feel the same way, I think some trainers feel like, then they're just going to think they didn't get a good workout in. So I think that you have to have some muscle soreness for a trainer to go, okay, I did accomplish something today.
But I do think that having...
Yeah, I understand. I'm not talking just initially afterwards. I'm talking like can't get out of my car, have a hard time going downstairs for several days afterwards, all that.
Some of Dovent's people have done that to you, Bert. Bert's actually burst into tears before in the show because he dropped his pen on the floor.
That's because they do not like me there. None of the trainers like me at his gym. It has nothing to do.
Thank you guys so much for your help.
Thanks. What are you gonna
You're
say,
welcome.
I was going to say that I do think a trainer is the way to go. If it's the way, if you can afford it, I think it's the way for you to stick to it. And anybody I know that's ever lost a significant amount of weight, or even for myself, like to stay on a workout plan, it's with a trainer, because there's one other person expecting you to be there.
Mm-hmm.
It's an appointment time. You can't just sort of brush it off. Like a class, I know in my own head, I'll be like, yeah, there's going to be 10 other people there. They won't miss me.
Mm-hmm.
I need to do whatever. Or in this job, we can always come up with the excuse that we're too tired, right? So like that's always my excuse. But if I have, if Peter is there and waiting for me and we have a set time and, it's every week and it's at that time and whatever, I will go.
When Delvette and I first started working out together, if I skipped a workout, he would find me. He'd call me. Like the elevator phone would ring and I'd pick it up and I'd be like, is there an emergency? He's like, no, man, I know you're coming in today.
But it is. I mean, it makes you stick to it. And it's
Didn't you admit
first
to
time...
lying to me once before?
Yeah, I'm lying.
Yeah.
It's the first time for me I've ever been able to stick with anything.
Yeah, and I do
and
think it's...
I do it and it's set on the calendar and it's, every single week, it's twice a week, and I know that those are the times we're going to meet, and so I make sure that those are the times I actually get it in. And when I have to rely on myself for that third or fourth day to do it, a lot of times it doesn't happen.
Accountability is everything. Accountability. Mm-hmm. If you're going to keep your appointments, you're going to do what you have to do to make it happen. So if you have that commitment, then there's a great chance you're going to do it. And it's
and
almost
you have
to think,
right.
It's like, I know I have to be here. I'm going to go and I'm going to do and I'm going to get the needs that I need and I'm going to go on with my life. But you got to put this in your life. It should be a part of your life no matter who you are.
And it's got to be in your calendar,
100%.
Like, on your BlackBerry, your iPhone, whatever. It pops up as a reminder, as an appointment time, not here, something that I'll fit it in when I can.
Right, it's got to
because you never will. Sure. You won't. I know I won't.
Good morning, Q100.
Me neither.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi. How are y'all?
Good. Thank you.
I wanted to know. I'm starting back working out,
and I go to gym warm up. Is it best to do weights or cardio first?
The answer to that question is you should do both.
Well, you can't do them both first, though.
Well, do a combination. You warm up doing cardio, and then you do weights, but go back to doing your cardio.
If you're in shape like Delvet is, you can do both.
You can do both. Lift weights, treadmill. Pass those 60-pound dumbbells real quick.
So as soon as you show up to your cardio first?
Do your cardio warm-up. Commit to about 5 to 10 minutes. Do some weight training. Go back to your cardio.
Oh, so go back and forth.
Go back and forth. Yeah, it's a good combination, good way to burn fat, and good way to have a lot of body confusion there where you're burning calories from both directions.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Here is Drew. Drew, what is going on? Hey, Drew.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, sir.
I had a quick question. I'm going to start working out here again in a couple months.
Sure,
yeah. And I'm trying to figure out a way to get toned but not get real built up. You know, what's the best way to do that?
Lighter weights, a lot of reps. That's how you get toned. If you obviously lift heavier weights, you're going to bulky muscles, if you will. So make your weights lighter and do more reps within a set.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. I appreciate it.
No worries.
And here's Beverly. Good morning.
Good morning. I had a question about diet. As far as if you're watching your calories all day, then you go to the gym. Is there a set time you should cut off eating?
I recommend you doing about 5 to 6 meals a day. Obviously, your majors, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And you want to have some snacks in between. Everyone has different lifestyles. There's no set time you should finish eating. Some people work third shift. So what do I say to the caller, anyone listening, that works late at night or works at 2 a.m.? There is no cutoff time. You just have to make good choices. The suggestion that I would give you, as the night progresses before you go to bed, stay away from carbs late at night because it's the last thing that you're eating. Increase your protein intake and your vegetable intake.
Some people don't even know, Delvet, the difference between a carb and a protein. So when you say stay away from carbs, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about especially white processed carbs, white rice,
pastas,
pizza,
sandwiches,
breads, you know, things like this. Yeah. Proteins obviously are your lean meats and your nuts and things of this nature. And vegetables obviously fall underneath the category of spinach, broccoli, et cetera, et cetera.
Fruits are carbs, though, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, fruits are considered carbs.
Hey, Beverly, everybody's body is different, so it's hard to give advice, I think, in that case, because some people can eat half an hour before they work out, and others, like, I won't eat 90 minutes before a workout, or I'll get cramped up. So you just have to pay attention to your body.
But I'm saying before you go to bed. So do you recommend, like, 2 hours before you go to bed to stop eating?
Yeah, 2 hours is enough time for your body to be in rest mode, absolutely.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Nutrition. Let's say people have no idea when it comes to nutrition. What are places that they can go to learn about that? If they don't have the money to buy or purchase like a nutrition plan from a professional, where on the internet do you go to find out about nutrition?
Type in nutrition. Type in nutrition assistance. There's a lot of websites that guide you on. You can put in your calories. I can't think of them on the top of my head right now. But you put in a caloric count or you put in what you eat and they tell you exactly how many calories is in that. And then you can determine based on that if it's good or bad for you.
Yeah, you can go right to like McDonald's.com has it.
No, I wouldn't go there. Wendy's.com does. But,
you got to learn how to eat, man. You got to learn how to eat.
That is key. It's called the internal workout. That is key.
I mean, because if you're not eating, that everything else in your life is based on really what you're eating. And most people just don't know how to eat right, like what Delvet was saying about eating 5 or 6 times a day, that's a way to lose weight. People equate a lot of food with gaining weight, but if you eat small meals a lot, your body metabolism cranks up and you're burning fat more throughout the day. People don't know that. You got to go online and learn this stuff.
You have to. Smaller portions. Throughout the day, speeds up your metabolism regardless.
All right, Delvet. Thanks, man.
Thank you, bro.
The Burt Show. The Burt Show.
I wonder, out of all the married guys on the show, who gets it the most?
Was it the married guys or was it all
no,
the guys?
Married
it was
guys.
Married guys. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All the married guys. Because we were like, I wonder who is getting busy more often.
And I don't know why, but we all said Carl.
Yeah.
They did. You were in first place. But we have intern Rich is also married, and then Bert and Jeff and Carl. So they're all four in here. So I don't know why we thought Carl was definitely getting it the most. I don't know.
Yeah, it wasn't even debatable with
that. All three of us, hands down, were like, Carl.
Except Jeff was like, he's got like, you know, you've got a bunch of kids, so there's no way. Jeff was offended. Like, we're all very competitive, and he's like, Carl's got too many kids to be having a lot of sex.
That's what I was wondering, why y'all came to that conclusion.
I don't know.
Because you're black. You know what? Take it, Carl.
it's automatically.
There's
a lot of white people who see you and lock their car doors, and it's not a good thing. That Jen thinks you're really horny. That is a good thing. Take it. Run with it.
Well, I do get it in, though.
It might be because I've seen Carl's, I don't know, like Carl's relationship with his wife. His wife. And I've seen his relationship with his wife. And y'all are just like, you just seem really close. And like, I don't know. I think couples that seem more intimate and close are doing it more often.
And then I thought about it when you were saying about your kids, like your kids, I wonder how much they're peaking. And then I was like, I wonder how much he's doing it. Because he's doing it a lot more often than you guys are.
How many kids you have?
Three
kids.
It gets in the way, huh?
He's stressed out about it.
That must be some creative scheduling right there. Like,
yeah, it's real creative because at first we didn't have doors. When I just moved into my new house, we didn't have doors. So it was real creative, baby. I mean, you would have no idea how creative you can get.
Closet.
Everywhere. Every room is christened.
Wasn't there one time when you were between houses that all your kids were in one room? Because I think that would be convenient.
No, I think what he said was he was literally in between houses having sex.
Like the neighbors could see it. Yeah.
On the roads, right?
I did think of that. Like, that would be convenient because all you do is like tie a bell to the doorknob or something, and the kids go in there. And if one of them comes out, you're like, I hear him. Like, it's like putting him in a pen.
You know, that's funny. I think every married person has a story like that. Because I used to literally lock my child into the high chair when they were born, like the first baby.
You lock the baby in the high chair, go up, have sex?
Come on, you didn't?
No.
Come on, man. Come on. Nah, for real. Let's keep it 100.
100. You lock the baby in the high chair. You go up, get it done, and then
don't get me wrong. I want to call the people on me. I was feeding my child something safe that I think that they could, you know.
Liquidy. Something.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Like some milk or something. You know, it's hard to choke on some milk.
Yeah.
At least 5 minutes.
It's only going to take a couple minutes.
And he also gave his 8-year-old Heimlich training and handcuffed him to the table right next door to it. So it was good.
And your wife was cool with it? Because if I would have tried to do that with Stacy, she would have never been able to get her mind off the baby being locked into the seat to enjoy what was going on.
She eventually was cool with it.
Broke her down.
Once the ambient
came in. But I mean, I'm surprised. I'm not really surprised. I kind of take it as a compliment, you know, that y'all look at me as such as a stud.
I was assuming Rich probably because.
I'm white, so that obviously takes me out.
I mean, they don't have
kids.
Why
would you think? Oh, because the no kid thing.
I have a door. I don't have kids. I mean,
how long have you been married?
3 years.
Okay.
They got to be having more sex than anybody else. Yeah.
Definitely more than you guys.
Yes.
For sure.
It'll be Carl, then Rich.
The rabbit.
Then I can't figure out the other
one. Yeah, who did Bert or Jeff? Who?
I didn't get these abs just hanging around.
Are we going to throw out numbers?
Like how many times a week?
Yeah, like how many times
month?
A week? Like how many times a week?
That depends on the week.
Okay, just average it out in a month, and then that way you don't have to be as specific.
I'm jumping into really dangerous territory here because I've been told that this is the only thing I'm not allowed to talk about on the radio.
Me too.
Mom, put your earmuffs on.
Does your mom listen to the
show? Do you want to write it
sometimes.
Down?
Sometimes.
Oh.
But you don't have sex with your mom.
Whoa, man. That's a whole other conversation.
That increases the number, doesn't it?
Jeff's like, wait a second. We're not counting.
Mine, I would say this. I'll give you this without saying anything but saying something. Do you have that clip that you played from David Arquette a couple of weeks ago? Because that resonated so loudly for me.
Okay.
That I think that he would speak for me here.
I know how we could do this and all of us could be safe. Everybody write your number down next to your name.
Okay.
And then give it to Wendy or Jen.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is read them in order.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Just read the names in order without the numbers.
Yeah, so you write your number down, whatever your number is, average it out over the past 30 days.
Okay.
Do it separately because then y'all cheat.
Right. And then, like, so we write it down, we give it to Jen, and then she'll just put them in order, lowest to highest, and then she'll say, Jeff is having sex the least, Carl's having sex the most, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But Jen, do you swear on everything that's holy? Who do I trust more, Jen or Wendy?
Me.
And Jen, both.
Who do you trust?
This is for the month or this is weekly or what are we talking about?
For the month. Of a 30-day rolling average.
On average.
30 days.
I got to be
honest. Put your name on it, too.
I need a larger piece of paper.
What?
How many zeros are
That's
in it?
That's the all
say. Yeah, this is just with our wives, right? Right?
Yeah, Jeff, this doesn't count by yourself. No weed pulling.
Dang.
No Farmville playing.
Rich just called you out.
Did you find that clip from Marquette? Because that thing was right on the money.
Hang on a second. Let me look. I was looking through to see if it was still
Here's
on the computer.
I'm embarrassed.
Carl's
and how many weeks
think.
In a month? For
I'm not, and no lying. I'm being honest.
Yeah,
in
me too. All right, I'm gonna be honest. Let me lowball some.
Give it to Jen.
Here, Jen.
Carl's pen's running out of ink.
I'm done, man.
In a month.
That's hard.
Easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not proud of my number.
Carl's proud of his, aren't you?
I could be prouder, more proud.
We done yet?
Yeah.
That's a hard thing to average out. Really?
Yeah, because it changes week by week.
Months and bad months. And
if your number is high, it's hard.
Sounds
to
like you're
out.
Making excuses, fellas.
The David Arquette clip that I'm asking her to find is him basically saying when you're married with kids, you sort of have an internal schedule, and if you don't get it during that window of opportunity, then you skip a week.
Definitely.
And well, I think that,
Have you guys have you heard of the 30-day exercise that you're supposed to do for if you're not getting enough when you're married? The thing is, there's some I think there's a book or it's someone a doctor came out with this, but basically you're supposed to go 30 days straight without you have to make the time. If you're booked and you need to schedule in, but if you can go 30 days straight for like pretty much the entire month, from there on out, your sex life will be better because it's about getting into the routine. It's not that married couples don't want to have sex anymore. They just get used to not having it.
I will promise you my next paycheck that a guy thought of that theory.
And I will be totally honest with you. I'll be the only guy in America that says this. I don't want to have sex every day for 30 straight days.
And they say, I'm just actually, too damn when you tired. Do that, you build, you know, you build, it's like building a muscle.
That is the first I've ever heard a guy say that.
I'm just too damn tired.
All right, I can't seem to find days, it, Bert. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
30 days straight.
I'm looking for you.
Month after month.
Yeah, you just get up at 3:15 in the morning. Stacy's beat too, running around the kitchen. She don't want to have sex with me 30 times in a month.
Right.
And I don't want to do it out of like obligation. Like it's a number we got to do it tonight. Right. I'd rather like both of us. You know,
right. I tell you one thing. Since having kids, the time that I do is totally changed. I mean, it's early in the morning now, or not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, just
there's a window of when you have a kid. There's like a window of opportunity, right? And if that window closes and you don't get it done, then man, you could go quite a while until the window opens up again. Bummer.
All right, you guys want to find out?
Yeah.
All right, the order.
Are we going lowest to highest or highest to lowest?
Go lowest to highest.
No,
you
should go highest to lowest.
Okay,
right.
We can raise the one with the most.
Okay, so the women on the show were right. Carl is
really?
Number one.
Booyah!
And that was kind of. I'm getting high five. Yeah, baby.
There we go. Nice to
get in here, baby. Give me some beef.
That's three kids.
Next on the list is Jeff Dollar.
Whoa,
Jay Money.
And then
hey, hold on a minute. How close is that to Carl?
You're pretty far away.
How close is that to Jeff?
I mean, he was a lead
distant
horse.
Second.
Yes. So, and then it goes to intern Rich, and then Bert, you're in last place.
Yeah, man. And you probably laughed me, dude.
Yeah.
That's not good, because mine wasn't that high, though.
Can you just tell us, are you guys all cool, if she tells us what the difference was between Carl and Bert, what the number was, the difference?
Sure, but we can't say the number because that's what I think I'd get in trouble for.
But
the difference between
Carl has sex X number of times more than Bert per month.
You're gonna bum me out.
10.
What?
Oh, damn.
Oh, wait, you got above 10?
The Bert Show. The Bert Show.
Did you guys spend any time in front of CNN this weekend or any of the news channels covering the Haiti stuff, or did you take a break from it?
A little bit, but not too much.
The Sanjay Gupta. I can't, you know, Bert's not here, so this won't get creepy. But I almost hopped on the Bert Weiss, Sanjay Gupta is, you know, the greatest man ever to live bandwagon this weekend.
Why? What happened?
Two specific things.
Okay.
And I think I was almost annoying Jessica following this storyline, but they are pretty incredible. And I'm gonna tell you the second story first, the one that happened yesterday, and this story is the less incredible of the two.
Okay.
The second story yesterday on a naval warship, because there are no new neurosurgeons in the area, they flew Sanjay, he's a reporter, but he's also a doctor, reporter for CNN, also a doctor. Who doesn't know who Sanjay Gupta is? He's I think he was working at Grady. CNN hired him to do some, you know, medical reporting. He was great on camera. They kept him around. And now whenever there's any medical issues, boom, he's there. So obviously they knew Haiti was going to be a big medical crisis. They fly Sanjay Gupta down there to report. A little girl was in a collapsed building, has skull issues and possibly injuries to her brain. They fly Sanjay Gupta onto a naval ship, and he performs neurosurgery on the girl at sea. And
wow.
Yep. So that was yesterday, and that's the less incredible.
And how's she doing? Was it okay?
He tweeted that she's doing okay, and he's got his fingers crossed. You know, hopeful. Obviously, brain surgery's, you know, tough, but
sure.
So he's got his fingers crossed for her. That's the less incredible of the two stories.
Okay.
All right.
Because that's pretty incredible.
Yep. I believe it was Friday night, Sanjay Gupta and his crew. I know one of them is a girl named Danielle who lives here in Atlanta, and I wish I knew the names of everybody in his crew, but it's like his producer, his camera guy, whoever else, a security guy. They are covering a field hospital that is two dozen Haitian quake victims, basically under a tent on mats made of cardboard or old blankets, receiving the only medical care available.
The hospital was destroyed.
Hospitals destroyed. Hospitals that are still standing are filled with other patients. These people may have been too far out to get to the regular hospital. So there's two dozen people in under a tent. They call it a field hospital, but if you saw the pictures of this, it's nothing more
than
like
It's very Civil War. If you've seen movies of the Civil War where people, doctors and nurses are helping people out in the field, and they don't have anything, you know, like there's no electricity and no anesthesia. No, that's kind of what it looks like.
Wow.
So they are out there, you know, treating, and there's like four or five doctors there and a couple of assistants. And this is on Friday. And Sanjay Gupta is covering this field hospital is a story for CNN. While he's covering it, and then this is where it gets to be kind of a gray area, but while he's covering the story, either the doctors make the decision to leave because they hear rioting off in the distance or have heard that rioting is going to break out in the area, or the United Nations orders them out. But at some point, while Dr. Gupta and his crew are there covering this story, the doctors leave. And no one has just left the patients there under the tent. Dr. Gupta and his crew refused to leave and stayed there all night Friday as the only medical professional on site for these two dozen patients. He didn't have any supplies, didn't have, all he could do was like clean bandages and you know, dress wounds and change IV bottles and just be there. The generator ran out of gas. So at one point they were in complete darkness.
Wow.
They were doing stuff by flashlight. His crew, unless I'm mistaken, has no medical training, but he taught them how to do IVs and clean wounds and, you know, comfort patients and do stuff to patients. So he educated them that night, and I'm guessing four or five of them stayed there with the security that CNN or whoever, you know, provided for him and took care of these two dozen patients.
Wow.
I was riveted to the whole story. It was on Twitter. He was tweeting it. He even made a joke because he couldn't do the next day when the sun came up, doctors came back. He couldn't do his report the next day. And he sent it. He goes, "Hey, sorry, I couldn't anchor my show today. Thank you to whoever for filling in. If CNN doesn't fire me, I'll be back on tomorrow." Like, it's a joke. Obviously, they're not going to fire
I was watching 60 Minutes on Sunday night because I wonder where he was, because they were covering a doctor, two doctors, I think, and a nurse, maybe three, a staff of three or four. That was another place, and they were the only ones there. And they had, like, 100 patients that they were having to take care of. So, I mean, it is complete chaos. And then the doctor took the cameras like a block down to show, you know, there's so many that passed away, so many bodies in the streets. They're having to use bulldozers to try to mass bury these bodies because of health issues. Like, you got to get rid of the cadavers. And so, but the doctor was, you know, just trying to show the devastation there, that it is so, I don't know how to describe it, but like, Civil War is the only thing I could think of.
And in the midst of catastrophe like that, there's no organized plan on how to get the supplies to the people they need, on how to get the food and the water and everything that is now showing up from the U.S. and from other places that are supporting Haiti. Like, it's all showing up, but nobody knows how to organize it or distribute. There's not like a... there's no action plan in place, you know. Yeah, it's just
and people are starting to freak out. So there's rioting. And, you know, they pull up with the. I saw some of the UN food, you know, big trucks filled with the food in the back, and then some people were freaking out because they thought the created on date or the date these high protein, high energy bars were manufactured was actually the expiration date. So some people were throwing them back at the UN workers distributing them because they didn't understand. So it was it's gonna get a lot more nuts down there. And I got to say one thing about Atlanta. I had this weekend, they put together, and by they, it was Kwanzaa Hall and Big Boy and his Big Kids Foundation and CARE, the organization CARE.org, put together a fundraiser in 3 days. And they contacted me on Saturday or Sunday and asked me if I would help MC it. And of course, I said yes, and it was last night. It was packed.
Awesome.
Packed.
Congratulations.
People, everybody had to pay 20 or 25 bucks, I think, to get in, and then small businesses made donations. The goal, I think, was $1 million, and they were at 700,000, I think, when I left last night.
Wow.
Like, Neo gave 50,000 from his foundation. Like,
amazing.
People were writing big checks. So it was just really cool to see Atlanta stepping up, and if you want to go to AtlantaCares.org, there's details on exactly what Jen was talking about, how they're putting together an action plan to distribute the stuff.
Wow.
It's more beneficial to send money down than water or supplies or anything, because the money they can use to create the whole plan, whereas the water might get stuck in a warehouse for a while type of thing.
Right.
The Bert Show.
All right, well, Bert, we haven't talked about your Chargers over the weekend.
Oh, my God, dude.
We have not talked about the football games from over the weekend, but I've got a celebrity story that ties into it. But
I seriously was on the edge.
I was, too.
I was, too.
And I was
come on! I literally don't disappoint Bert again!
Like, once it got to the end and they got that first down and it was over, you know, after the onside kick and it was over, I didn't even go, poor Chargers. I went, oh, God, Bert.
I seriously
thought the same thing.
I spent time on the phone yesterday. It felt like I was broken up with a girl. You know how, like, that feeling that you get, that loneliness and that hurt? Like, all day yesterday, I was on with all my friends from San Diego, and we were all comforting each other. It was almost like somebody died.
And it was just, and then it was just rubbing salt in the wound with them, like, well, every other playoff game, you know, the home field advantage has proven well.
Right, they're the only team that lost this weekend at home.
Only team that lost at home.
Yeah. Just so, awful. All right, I'm so tell me who's moving on to the next weekend.
I don't even know that there is a next weekend. I can't talk about it.
there is no future.
It's late.
So it's Indianapolis and New York in Indianapolis, right? And then
New Orleans
Saints and
Minnesota
the
Vikings.
Right. And that's in New Orleans, right?
Yeah. Correct.
Something and like then that. This is how it ties into the entertainment buzz, is that Kim Kardashian just said in an interview that her longtime boyfriend, running back Reggie Bush, made a deal with her that if his team, the New Orleans Saints, wins the Super Bowl, he's going to propose to her. So now it's just two games away.
I can't say that.
That is really, really crappy.
Isn't that weird?
I would be so offended.
That would be like if Joanna's boyfriend
She was the one telling the story. Yeah, if the Saints win the Super Bowl, he told me he's going to propose.
Oh, that's a really, really crappy thing to do.
That is jacked up.
I'd be so mad. I would be so mad.
She's going to be rooting really hard now for the Saints.
Hey, Amber, good morning. You're on
Q100. Hey, I just want to say, Bert, I think everybody in Atlanta and wherever your signal goes said, oh, my God, we've got to soothe and comfort Bert tomorrow.
Yes.
And I even tried to call yesterday to see if y'all talked about it because I didn't get in the car until like 10 till 7. And I didn't hear anything, so, yeah, we're sorry.
Thank
Although
you.
I want the Vikings to win, but I really felt bad for you.
It really did feel, I mean, based on the texts and the emails and the calls that were coming into me yesterday, it really felt like somebody had died. People are like, I'm so sorry, man. Eventually, you're going to get over the pain. You're going to get past it. And at one point, I'm like, it is just a football game, but God, did it hurt.
I'm sure.
God, it hurt.
Poor thing.
I haven't been able to watch ESPN yet.
Oh.
I've got plans to go to the Super Bowl with four other guys, I can't even start the process of going because I can't even wrap my head around it.
Are you still
going
to be able to go with your knee?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What a weekend. What a weekend.
Oh, honey.
Get it? The Burt Show. You're on The Burt Show.
So, Katie and I am realizing more and more have a redneck romance. And the reason I say that is because Katie has already presented me with my Valentine's Day gift.
But it's January, 19th?
Doesn't she know about your whole order of the holidays crap?
But and there really is nothing between now and Valentine's.
There's nothing between now and Valentine's Day, but that was part of her argument. She said, I know that you're a big believer in holiday to holiday. There's nothing, you know, between now and Valentine's Day. Plus, you're sick, so I thought this will give you a boost.
And she probably could have bought it a couple of weeks ago because they put Valentine's stuff on sale about a week and a half before Christmas. So,
not kidding. On the way to work this morning, I saw a house that had a heart in the window as a Valentine's Day decoration, which I've never seen before.
That's
but,
cute.
You know, and I thought, well, there is nothing between now and Valentine's Day. But anyway, so last week, yes, Katie has given me my Valentine's Day gift, and it is two tickets to the Daytona 500.
Oh, boy.
Nice. Is it that weekend?
That's what I'm talking about.
Valentine's Day weekend is Daytona 500, and I will be down there with Tim McGraw. I'll be down there with Sarah Palin.
Nice.
I'll be down there with my girlfriend, Katie Jo. So, yeah, so she was so excited. It was almost like, so you want to go? Like, you know, like this is our Valentine's Day gift.
Isn't that technically, didn't she give herself pair of tickets to the Daytona 500?
Well, yes, because that kind of incline into the question, do you want to go? Means that, yes, she got tickets, and and I think that if she didn't take me with her, that she probably would take somebody else.
This is a reach here, but this is a little bit like when you give somebody like something from Victoria's Secret for Valentine's Day. That's really not for them. That's really for you.
Right.
Which is really where we're going. This is
here you go.
This is the redneck version of Victoria's Secret.
But that's what I'm saying. That's our redneck romance. And so but Valentine's Day is about making both of us happy. And so, and she's, we neither one of us have been to the Daytona 500, but I've told you for years that Katie's a huge NASCAR fan.
Right.
So this is really NASCAR Super Bowl. So the fact that she's never gone, yes, I'm actually tagging along with my girlfriend on Valentine's Day weekend.
You know what?
And it was masked as my gift.
I hope Jessica is as reasonable as you when for Valentine's Day she gets an infrared universal remote control and in-wall speakers for a home theater system. I really hope she loves those as much
She'll
as you.
She'll be like, you're so romantic.
You're right. So nice. Oh, so these go right in the ceiling? That's great. Oh, wow. Dolby 5.1 surround sound. Fantastic.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Listen, it's The Burt Show.